But I want us to continue thinking about gratefulness together, okay? Let us just ask God to open the word to our understanding, all right? Let's pray. Lord God, I pray that you would bless your scripture, that you would anoint your word to shape us and mold us into the image of Christ. I pray that you would help us now as we open up the scriptures and seek to understand the truth, that you would reveal to us what it is you want us to learn, that you would reveal more of yourself to us this morning. Dear Lord, I pray that you would just have control of this time, and we dedicate it to you and to your glory. Help us to see what we need to see. I pray that you would bind the principalities and powers and rulers of darkness that would like to distract us. They'd like to keep us from seeing what we need to see, and I speak against them in Jesus' name. And I pray that you would help us, Lord, not to be distracted by the things of this world that would come in and choke the truth, choke the fruit. But you would allow this fruit, this seed, to settle upon good ground that would bring forth 30, 60, and even 100-fold. We want to glorify you with this time, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. The second book of Corinthians. Excuse me. This message is entitled Growing Gratitude. How many of you plant a fall garden? Anybody plant a fall garden? That's kind of fun. Different things grow in different types of times of the year. But a lot of times we call this time of the year the harvest time. There's harvest festivals you get to go to. There's things that you can, wonderful things to eat, and of course, the leaves are beautiful, but this is the time when we harvest what was planted in the spring. And I want us to think about gratitude as a plant. Thankfulness is a fruit of the Spirit of God. And so I want us to think of it that way. So here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul gives us the formula for making gratitude grow. So let's read it, and we will talk about it together, meditate upon it. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1. For as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. Yet I have sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf. Let's jump forward. He's talking about a gift that he wants the Corinthians to contribute to. Let's jump forward to verse 6. Verse 6 says, But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, He hath dispersed abroad, He hath given to the poor, His righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service, not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Whilst by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. And by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. So growing gratitude, Paul gives us the formula here, but you have to kind of read slowly. Especially for me, when I read this in the King James Version, I have to kind of go, okay, what does that mean? And what does that mean? I got to go really slow. But can we make gratefulness or thankfulness increase in us or in the world around us? Is it possible? The answer is yes. It can grow stronger, more complete, and we can spread it around. And this is the way. First thing we must do is sow the seed. Sowing seeds. Sowing seeds. You're going, wait a minute, I told you I don't like to garden. Do I have to garden in order to grow gratefulness? No. It's not the seeds we're talking about. You see, there's different kinds of seeds. In the context of this passage of Scripture, Paul is clearly referring to financial donations. Money. The greenbacks. He's clearly talking about that. But he's also applying that principle to other things as well. It's not just money that he's referring to. There's different types of seeds than just financially contributing to the church or to the work of Christ. We can sow other types of seeds, such as time. That's a big one. Energy. Talents. Other resources, such as kindness, love, and truth. All of those things are seeds that we can invest in something. Certainly money counts. But there are other seeds that we can invest as well, just more than just money. Look at verse 8. He says, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. So he's saying every good work. God's going to give you grace that abounds toward all things into every good work. He's talking about more than just financial giving. In case any of you are wondering if this is a tithe sermon. If this is the yearly giving sermon we're obliged to hear from the preacher. No, that's not what this is. He's applying it to every good work. You see, there's more good works that can be done in the world than just giving money to a cause. That's a big one. And then there's all kinds of good ministries out there that are always saying, hey, you know, will you contribute to this good work? Here's what we're doing in the world. We need this to happen. Will you please give? And I'm not saying that those folks are wrong. That's always a great big one that shines in our faces. But this principle of sowing seeds applies to how much time I'm sowing into my family. How much time I'm sowing into my relationships. How much energy I give toward the things of the kingdom of God. How much love am I pouring on something? Am I spreading truth? Am I sowing truth out there in the world around me? And verse 6 also teaches us something very, very important. And that is we reap what we sow. What we reap is exactly comparable to what we sow. If you sow one seed, you'll reap one plant, one plant's worth of harvest. If you sow five, you'll reap five. You know, Mr. Ronnie, your garden is a significantly bit bigger than mine. You got a good half acre or something there, right? I mean, it's a nice big plot there where you can have all kinds of room to plant these crops. Now, at my house, we got about that much room. It's a lot less. And so therefore, my harvest is not as great as Mr. Ronnie's. And Ronnie and Sharon were very generous to us this year, sharing a little bit of their bounty. But what we sow in the world is what we reap. And he says in verse 6, whoever sows sparingly shall reap sparingly. And if you sow bountifully, you shall reap bountifully. This applies to the money that we invest in things, the contributions we make, whether it's to this church or some other good ministry you know of. It applies to the amount of time I invest in something. It applies to the love I spread around to others. It applies to the truth I give to others, the kindness, the energy I invest. The what I sow is what I reap. If I sow good things, I shall reap good things. If I sow bad seed, I'll reap bad seed. If I sow a lot of good seed, I'll reap a lot of good fruit. If I sow a lot of bad seed, I'll reap a lot of bad fruit. This is a principle of life that applies across the board in so many ways. And as believers in Jesus Christ, we should be seeking to sow bountifully the good seeds that God has given to us, whether that's of our finances or of our time or of any number of other resources God has given to us, our talents. Friends, God has blessed all of us with talents, with gifts. And some people hold on to those talents real tight because they're embarrassed. They don't want to invest their abilities to bless other people because of fear. And friends, I don't believe that's right. If God has given you a talent, if he's given you a gift, we need to sow that gift. We need to use it to bless other people and not hold on tightly. Our talents are given to us to bless the world around us. And when we try to hide that talent because we're comparing it to other people's talents and, oh, I'm not as good as so-and-so, so I won't share this talent. That's wrong. Jesus condemns that in the parable of the talents. He says, you wicked and slothful servant. Anyway, this isn't a sermon about talents. It's a sermon about sowing. It's a sermon about growth. How do we grow gratitude? Well, the first thing we got to do is we got to sow a lot of seed. If you want to reap a lot of gratitude, you sow a lot of seed. The second thing we need to do is water cheerfully. Verse 7. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. God loves it when we give cheerfully. This is like the watering of the seed. Sowing it is get it out there, either donating financially or giving of your time or your resources, your love, whatever. And then watering is when you do it with a cheerful attitude. You see, our attitude is very important. The attitude of the giver is key to the reception of the gift. Think about it this way. Would you like it if somebody said, well, you know, here's a present for your birthday because I had to give it? You know, okay, you know. Because of social expectations and because mom threatened to beat me, I decided to get you this present. I don't really care if you keep it. You can throw it away if you want to because I don't care if you like it. I'm only giving it because I have to. Do you like getting gifts like that? No, nobody does. No, thanks a lot. I'm just doing what I have to in order to avoid pain here. Oh, thank you, I guess. That's not the kind of present you want to receive. We don't like receiving gifts from a grumpy giver, do we? Grumpy givers are not fun. Fine, here. I don't really want to, but here, you can have it. We don't like that, do we? God doesn't like it either. He loves a cheerful gift, a gift given out of joy, out of gratefulness. We give. A cheerful, generous attitude towards toward giving is like the nourishment of the soil that causes a plant to grow. Without it, the plant dies, or the harvest is weak. At the very best, you got a weak harvest if you don't have any nourishment in the soil. To nourish that plant, it requires a cheerful attitude toward giving. We can't sow seeds begrudgingly. You know, I'm here to tell you about God because God says I have to. So Jesus died for your sins. You know, you're a sinner and you're going to hell, I guess. So, you know, Jesus died for your sins. If you want him, you can have him. I had to tell you that. You know, I don't really care if you accept or not. I had to tell you because God said I have to. So, have a nice day. That's sowing truth grudgingly. All right, here's my 10%. I guess it's 10. I'm going to go right to the penny because, oh, God, why did you have to make me give tithes? I hate this. Fine, here. Please keep the devourer from devouring my stuff. Here's my tithe. That's not the way we give it. Lily Beth's cracking a gut. That's silly. We don't give that way, do we? We should never sow seeds as if God is twisting our arm and saying, you have to go out there and serve those people. Fine, I'll serve them. That's not the way God wants us to be. That's not the attitude we're to have. Acts chapter 20, verse 35. Matt, pop that on the screen for us. A cheerful giver increases the gratitude in himself as well as the gratitude in other people around him. Acts 20, 35 says, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. To give away of ourselves, to pour ourselves out on behalf of someone else is a greater blessing than to receive any number of other gifts from other people. To give is better than to receive. We always think about at Christmas time all the gifts we're getting. But really, the biggest blessing of Christmas is getting to give so many things away. That's the greatest blessing, is to give away. How about Matthew 10, verse 8? If you're wondering how generous Christians ought to be, Matthew 10, verse 8, Jesus said, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. We've been given so much. So freely we've been given abundantly incredible gifts. We ought to just freely give them away. Whether it's our money, we should never hold on to our finances like this or our stuff this way. And in case you're wondering, I'm preaching at me. I struggle with this. But whether we're rich or poor or somewhere in between, we should never do this with our stuff. It should always be this, an open hand. We should never grip our things so tightly that we get all wrapped up in knots about them. We should hold them openly and say, hey, I was given these things so freely by the Lord, I just freely give them away. Freely you have received, freely give. God has bestowed so much love and truth and kindness and mercy and compassion and righteousness and holiness upon us. We ought to throw that out on other people as fast as we can get it. God has invested energy and time and the greatest and most precious of all things, his only Son, upon us freely. We ought to freely just shove it out on other people too. Generous, cheerfully giving to others. Also, it's very important to realize that Paul is not speaking about a specific amount. Here in verse 7, again, he says, as he purposes in his heart. Each man, basically he's saying, we're all responsible in our conscience before God. In our own heart, we're responsible to God for what we give. He doesn't say you got to give this amount. You got to give $60 every week. You got to give, you know, if you don't make it to $100,000 having given it away in your lifetime, well, you're not really following the Lord. No, that's not at all what God is saying. The Lord is interested in percentages, not amounts. He's interested in the percent of ourselves that we give away. It needs to be 100. And we see this again exemplified by Jesus Christ in Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, verses 41 through 44. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And that's the lowest amount you could possibly give, as far as an amount is concerned. And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. She gave 100% of everything that she had, and that was why she'd given more than all these people that had given a greater amount, but of their abundance. God is interested in each of us individually. He treats all of us differently. He treats Ronnie differently than he treats Brother Davis. Brother Ronnie is not Brother Davis, and God addresses you each as individuals. He treats Marianne different than Katie and Jared and Elsie. We are all responsible to God for our own conscience and our own heart, and we need to be clear and free in our own conscience that we have generously given what God has given to us, that we are being generous in the sowing of our seed. We should give until we are at peace in our hearts that we have been generous. We are to respond to the direction of the Holy Spirit. Now remember, it's important that we fulfill our responsibilities also, especially to those depending upon us for support. It would not be righteous for me to give away all of my children's clothing and, you know, go live in a box somewhere and sell all of our vehicles so that we could give to the poor because my children are depending upon me for their provisions. It's not righteous for me to neglect my responsibilities. You know, it's not a good testimony to my landlord if I say, well, I can't make my rent this month because, you know, I paid for somebody to have a sandwich. You know, I gave to the poor. Aren't you proud of me? Yeah, but I mean, you're stealing money from me. You can't steal from someone to give to someone else. We have to fulfill our responsibilities first. But at the same time, we need to know the difference between a want and a need. We can't say, oh, Lord, it's really important that I have cable, Lord. Oh, it's really important. I can't afford to, you know, feed 18 different people this month in Africa because they need food. I can't afford to give a little extra to the lamb's basket right down the street that's giving food and help to the needy because I need to have my cable, Lord. Well, God, I've got to go golfing this week. It's really important I go golfing this week, and I'm sorry, I can't afford to give more. Wait a minute. Yeah, you can, because that's not a need. It's not a responsibility. So cheerfully giving, the attitude in which we give, is very key. And we need to realize that it's important for us to give with a cheerful heart because that waters the seed we've been sowing. It provides nourishment. And then we get to harvest thanksgiving. We're sowing these seeds, whether it's financially or any kind of other seeds, and we're watering it with the right attitude toward giving. Christians should be the most generous people around. And what do we reap? Well, we harvest more gratitude. Verse 11. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. I want you to hear it in another version. English Standard Version says it this way. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way. Again, not just money, But in every way you will receive bounty, so that you can be bountifully generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. We get to be the channels through which God makes gratefulness to grow. When we bountifully sow seed, we get to reap thanksgiving unto the Lord. Gratitude grows when we are generous. As we do service in His name, thanksgiving unto Him grows greater, both in those around us and also in us. The Greek word here that is translated through is the word dia, which means the channel of an act. With generosity, we get to be the channel through which gratefulness grows, thanksgiving increases through us. When we are generous with our resources, with our seeds, then the Lord is careful to increase our bounty, which grows gratefulness in us. We are then able to give more abundantly, which causes more gratitude in others unto God. That is a powerful truth, friend. It's incredible. I get to be part of God's garden, where He's growing thankfulness in other people, if I am generous in sowing my seeds. The type of seeds I sow are the type of seeds I get back. So I want to sow good ones. And the amount of seeds I sow is the amount of harvest I reap. So I want to sow plenty. Here, let me give love to you. Let me give generously of the resources I have. You know what? I have enough time to give some to you. Here, let me give you attention and focus. Here, you know what? God has been so kind and merciful to me, I'm just going to give you a whole bunch of mercy. You know what that means, really, practically in our lives? It means when somebody does something really mean to me, something that is wrong, something that is wicked, someone's been wicked to me, and they deserve retribution. Righteously, they do. They've done wrong to me. But instead of giving them revenge or vengeance or proclaiming their evil sins, instead of that, I pour out upon them mercy. I pray for them instead. I give them mercy and say, you know what? You did wrong to me, but I'm going to give you something good instead. Do good to those that hate you, that despitefully use you and persecute you. It says pray for them. That's what Jesus told us to do. That's what mercy is giving not what you deserve something bad because you did something bad to me, but I'm not going to give you what you deserve. I'm going to give you love. I'm going to give you help. I'm going to give you mercy. That's what sowing mercy means. It means when somebody does me wrong, I don't do them wrong back. It means I do good to them instead. That's what sowing mercy is. You want to sow a little truth? It means you have the courage to go tell somebody the truth and not a lie. I am shocked how many people that claim the name of Christ are totally fine with telling falsehoods. It shocks me. Oh, well, you know, I say a little untruth. No, you should not. Sow truth. Tell the truth and shame the devil. You ever heard that phrase? Right? Tell the truth, train the devil. Hey, welcome, welcome. We got to sow a lot of truth. That means that sometimes I got to have the courage to go up to somebody and tell them what the truth is. That takes courage because you're risking being rejected. But we ought to be sowing lots of truth, folks. You know how you sow truth? You fill up your bag of seeds, with truth seeds. You fill up your bag with the Bible, with the truth of God's Word. That's how you get ready to sow lots of truth. Folks, When we do that, we get to be the channel through which God grows gratefulness in the world around us, in our own hearts and in others. Do you want to sit down at your Thanksgiving meal and just be super grateful? Do you want everyone at your table to just rejoice in the greatness of God? Well, be the channel through which God can act. Do you see what I'm saying? Through the good works that we do in the world, that causes people to give glory to God. You know, I think of a specific guy at my job. It's really, really good illustration of this truth. A guy that I work with that I've grown to really love and respect, his name is Jesse. If you ever see Jesse at Chick-fil-A, boy, you know you have found a really solid fella. Because I'm telling you, there is nobody in that restaurant that invests more in the people around him than that guy. He is always serving. Somebody says, Jesse, could you do this for me? He's like, right away, I'll get it done. In fact, he's so good, he sees what somebody needs, and he goes, pow, I've got you right here. Here you go. I'll take care of that for you. Pow, and he's gone. He's got all this energy that he's investing in everyone around him, and he does not expect any return for it. He's not doing it because they're going to do something good for him later on in return. He's giving, sowing seeds of righteousness, of service, of kindness, compassion. He's sowing those seeds upon everybody around him just because he's a believer in Jesus Christ and it's the right thing to do. And he reaps a harvest that he doesn't even realize what kind of harvest he's reaping. And people go, wow, I'm so thankful that you're here. Jesse, I'm so thankful you're part of this team. Thankful to who? I'm thankful to God that Jesse's part of the team. You see how that works? He is causing thankfulness to grow in the world around him because he's sowing lots of seeds. And let me tell you something. He's not going around throwing money around at things. He's sowing other seeds. He's sowing seeds of energy and time and compassion and love and attention. That's the kind of seeds that he's sowing. And he's reaping a bountiful harvest. A harvest of thanksgiving. That's how we can cause thanksgiving to grow. Is if we sow a lot of good seeds cheerfully. And you know, Paul says something at the very end, which really kind of drew me to this passage in the first place. In verse 15, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. His unspeakable gift. Thanks be to God. Of course, the unspeakable gift is the greatest gift of all time, Jesus Christ. The greatest gift anyone has ever received or that anyone has ever given is him. And so really, this is the answer and the key to all of that we've been talking about. You say, you know, preacher, I don't got a whole lot of seeds to sow. Jesus has a bunch. You go to Jesus and you find a bunch of seed. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. You might say, I don't have a lot of finances to invest in things. That's okay. Jesus can make you the channel through which finances can flow. You say, I don't have a lot of truth. You know what? There's a whole lot of truth right here Jesus has. He is the truth, the personification of truth. You say, I don't have a lot of love to spread around. Let me tell you, he is love. He is love itself. You need some more seeds? I don't have a lot of time. Let me tell you, he exists outside of time. He can make your time grow like you can't imagine. He exists outside of time and space. He has time for him is like in a basket. He can just throw it out where he wants it. Jesus Christ is the unspeakable gift of God. You say, well, you know what? I have a hard time being cheerful. It's hard for me to be a cheerful giver. I know I should, but it's just hard. Let me tell you something. Jesus Christ endured more suffering and more challenge and more difficulties on our behalf than we can even possibly grasp a hold of. We can't even catch it. It's so out there. That's why Paul says it's an unspeakable gift. It's inexpressible. It's indescribable, unutterable. Words are insufficient. We cannot get the full description. I'm not able to account fully the awesome magnitude, beauty, and power that is Jesus Christ, the gift of God to mankind. You know, when I think about the things that I have to give up, it doesn't even hold a candle to what he's given up. When I think about the gifts that I give, it doesn't hold a candle to the awesomeness that was his gift. And he willingly went to the cross so that I wouldn't have to go. We need to take, again, account of where we are. We've been redeemed from our sins, folks. Everything else is gravy. It's all the rest of it's icing on the cake. We're going to heaven. We were sinners. We were enemies of God. But God comes down and offers us freely the gift of salvation. And we receive freely that gift without deserving it at all. We receive the greatest gift ever given to anyone. And that should cause in us an attitude of continual gratefulness. No matter what happens in my life, you can come, you can chop off my arms and my legs. You can pluck out my eyes and pull out my hair. You can take my family away from me. You can burn me at the stake. But I still got Jesus. You can't take him away from me. I still got something to be grateful for. I still got the most wonderful thing to be grateful for. And yeah, just pour on all kinds of trouble in this world. It doesn't matter. It does matter. I'm not saying it's not hard. But folks, we still got gratefulness. We still got buckets and buckets and buckets of stuff to be thankful for. Because God has given us the most unspeakable, inexpressible, I can't even tell you how awesome it is, gift. That is Jesus Christ himself. And when we realize the magnitude and the awesomeness and the unspeakable, inexpressible greatness of that gift, we can give anything cheerfully. Giving things away cheerfully is no longer hard if we grasp Jesus Christ and who he is, who he really is, and what he's really done for you and me. When we see that, oh, it's easy to give anything up. I'm telling you, nothing else in this world holds on to me. I give it all away happily because of all he's given me. That's the key. That's the answer. That's why Paul, at the end of this, he says, okay, you want to make gratefulness grow in you or in the world around you? Jesus Christ. He's the answer to it all. Do you need more cheerfulness? Do you need more seeds? Do you want to see and reap a harvest of gratefulness and thanksgiving in your life? Look at Jesus. Look at what an unspeakable gift. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. That's us, folks. That's us. That's you and me. Children of the kingdom. Redeemed members of the covenant. A royal priesthood. A holy nation unto God. Brothers and sisters. Saved from our sins. Going to heaven. That is a good reason to be grateful. Let me tell you. You're looking for one. You got one. You got the biggest reason ever. You know, I think it's a wonderful tradition to sit around the table at Thanksgiving and say, what do you have, what are you grateful for this year? Hey, what, you know, something big you're grateful for. Just tell me. I love that thing. That's a great one. But you know, if all, none of us could say a single thing, if we went around the room and said, what do you have to be grateful for? And every single one of us said, well, you know, nothing. It's been an awful year. We would still have Jesus Christ to be grateful for. We would still be saved from our sins. We'd still be going to heaven. We'd still be broken free of the shackles of sin that bind us. We'd still have Jesus. And that's enough reason to be glad at Thanksgiving. I don't care what's happening in your life. And that is the way to make gratefulness grow. You want to make gratefulness grow? Sow lots of seeds. Sow lots of the right kind of seeds. whether you need to give more financially or maybe you need to give more time. Maybe you need to give more truth. Maybe you need to give more love, kindness, mercy. Maybe you need to give your talents more. Sow lots of seeds, because then we reap a big harvest. And sow cheerfully, so gladly. Don't sow like God is twisting your arm and you got to, okay, fine, Lord, here. That's not the kind of giver God wants. In your own hearts before God, be cheerful. Know that you are giving as much as you can. That you are giving fully of yourself. That your heart, your conscience is clear before God. I've not held anything back from you, Lord. I'm giving away as much as I possibly can. And then you will reap a harvest beyond anything you can see. When we invest ourselves in serving, in good works, in the abundant grace that God gives us to serve the world around us, we begin to harvest a bountiful harvest that we can't even imagine. We can't even grasp a hold of how wonderful the fruit is of a life lived that way. So how much are we given? Are we being stingy or are we being generous? Are we allowing fear to control the number of seeds we're throwing? We should be the most generous, cheerful, wonderful, happy, happy Christians. Christians ought to be the most generous people on the face of the planet. Because we have a Father who owns everything. And he indeed has given us everything in Christ. We don't lack anything when we're in him. Friends, look, I got financial trouble, financial pressures in my life too. You might be sitting there thinking about all those presses, those stresses, those financial stresses that are on your life. I know right where you're sitting. Trust me. But I'm telling you, at the end of the day, those things don't matter. Because God can take care of them like this. It's so easy. It's so easy for God to handle financial problems. And we spend way too much of our time stressing over it and worrying about it. When he said, take no thought for tomorrow, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, or what you shall wear. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of those things. He knows that's a need. But he who takes care of the lilies of the field, the birds of the air, is more than capable of handling our financial need. So why should we not be very, very generous? He's more than abundantly taken care of everything we could ever want. Well, maybe not want. I could want a lot of stuff. He doesn't necessarily take care of our wants, does he? But he takes care of our need. In Christ, we are provided for. Therefore, sow lots of generous seeds. Friends, that is my challenge to us today. That is my exhortation to you, my beloved friends and family in Christ, my brothers and sisters in Christ. Sow more seed. Throw it a lot. Be generous with your seed. The seeds God has given in your bag, in your basket, whatever ones you got, throw them when he says throw them. He says throw them over there, you throw them over there. He says throw them over there, you throw them over there. Whatever that means in your individual life, do more of it. Let's be generous and let's be glad to have the opportunity to be generous. Not everyone has the opportunity to be generous. There's varying levels of bounty because there's varying levels of need, and that's just the way the world is. Some people have only enough to survive on. They don't have anywhere close to enough money to just give to someone. But all of us have seeds. Even if we don't have enough money, all of us have seeds somewhere. Whether it's time or love, talents, patience, all kinds of seeds God has given us. Throw them freely, quickly, happily. Because then you'll reap. bountifully. That's the way we ought to live. That's the way we ought to think at Thanksgiving. And really all year long, all the time, we should be thinking, hey, I'm so grateful. Look at all I have to be grateful for. Don't let the troubles of life cloud out all of the mountain of things. It's like we got a tree that's in our way and we can't see. It's a tree full of stress. And I see all kinds of branches in my way and I can't see that there's a mountain behind this tree of blessings. It reaches to the sky of blessings and kindnesses and wonderful fruit, and I get distracted because of the leaves. Well, friend, you know, step around the tree sometimes. Look through the branches and remember, okay, it's just a tree. Not a big deal. It's just a little bit. We have so much to be thankful for. Let's remember the unspeakable, inexpressible, undescribable gift of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Remember him. Don't forget. Let's remember him all this year. Won't you pray with me now? Oh, dear God, we're just floored by how wonderful you are. We can't grasp a hold of the magnitude of yourself, who you are, what you've done for us. Help us to get a little sliver, just a little bit, of that understanding of what you've done, the incredible power and joy we can have in Christ Jesus. And help us to spread that joy around. Please help us to see the areas in our life where we have not been spreading seeds the way we should. Help us, Lord, to spread the truth of Christ, to throw our seeds freely and easily all the time. Help us to hold our possessions lightly. Remember that you have freely given to us all things. Help us to freely give as well. Help us this year, this holiday season, Lord, as we come into Thanksgiving and Christmas, help us to experience the joyful blessedness of giving. Help us to experience the great joy that comes from giving. I pray that, Lord, you would please help us to be a generous people. Generous with everything about us, to be a drink offering poured out unto the Lord. Fully, freely, giving of ourselves to others and to you. Ultimately, Lord, it's all about you. Thank you for this beautiful, wonderful gift. Help us to give it away. We are very grateful for you. We cannot describe how grateful we are. We're very glad to be your children, to be part of your kingdom, to have the opportunity to disperse such bountiful gifts upon the world. We're grateful for that opportunity. So, Lord, let yourself be made known in the earth, we pray, and in us.